Matthew 23 and verse 12. Matthew 23 and verse 12. We're dealing with our inner self today and want to deal with the subject of pride. And pride is the great enemy of God. Pride is very much against us. It's against our Christian life, and it's against the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in our Christian life. So Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, Jesus Christ making the statement here, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And we live in a society of much exaltation today. Many people, and this is just, it's human nature. It's something that we need to realize is human nature. Someone tells a story about something that they did. Okay, that's great. And instantaneously, the response of the person listening was, well, I had this that I did. And it's one story builds on another, builds on another, builds on another. Why? Well, we have a tendency toward self-promotion, toward pride. We want people to think highly of us. That's human nature. Unfortunately, that's carnal nature, that's sinful nature. And there's nothing wrong with sharing stories. That's not what I'm talking about. The idea is what's behind what we're doing, what we're saying, how we're living. And pride is something that as Christians, you know, just the fact that I was a sinner on my way to hell and it took the Lord Jesus Christ dying to save me, that should eliminate pride. What room is there for pride in the heart of a person? What room is there for people to walk around with their nose up in the air thinking, I'm somebody good? All I am and all you are, we're sinners that we're on our way to hell. And if we're on our way to heaven, it's because Jesus died for us. And we went humbly before Jesus and trusted Him as Savior. So let's pray and just see ask God to help us in this message today. Father, I pray as we look at several passages of Scripture today, God, help us. God, we need to be humble people. We need to be dependent upon You. We need to realize that we are nothing in and of ourselves. And Father, anything that You have done through us is simply by Your grace. It's not because we deserve it. God, I pray that we would truly come to the end of this message and realize and if need be, confess the sin of pride. But Father, also seek and ask You to help us to live humbly. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 through 13. And we see here a story that deals with this idea of pride. Chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up unto the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisees were religious people. They knew the Scriptures. You could ask a Pharisee what was written in the Old Testament. They could tell you what was written in the Old Testament. They could probably tell you all of the breakdown around it. They knew the Scriptures. The Pharisees were people that lived on the externally, very, very righteous lives externally. But the Pharisees trusted in their religion. They did not trust in God. They thought, our goodness will get us to God, and all of you people should be more like us. That was their whole mentality. The other was a publican. A publican was a tax collector. Often the tax collectors were known for being corrupt. And boy, you think about people receiving money from other people. Boy, it's easier to spend someone else's money than to spend your own, isn't it? And boy, our government could take a little bit of a lesson in that, couldn't they? But the Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So here's this Pharisee. Did he ask God for one thing? Did he show any humility? No, it was all about himself. He basically was talking supposedly to God, but really he was just talking to himself. He thinks he is God. On the other hand, you've got the publican standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, as a pastor, I would much rather deal with a person like the publican than a person like the Pharisee. As Christian people, I would much rather be around a person who realized they're not perfect than somebody who thought they were. Now, does the publican need to repent of his sin? He did. And the question then is asked, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. One person comes to God proclaiming how great he is. That Pharisee, I'm sure, died and went to hell because he was depending on himself for salvation. The publican died and went to heaven because he was asking God for salvation. He came to God humbly as a repentant sinner. You know, a person who is religious that thinks they're good oftentimes will not come for salvation, and the reason they will not get saved is because they think they're good enough. If you're here today and you're not saved, it's time to repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ to save you and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved through Him. A person that thinks they're going to get to heaven on their own, or that they can get there by religion or by going to church or by doing some good work or just because they're good enough, is going to find out they're going to miss heaven by 10 million miles. We have nothing to be proud of. Really, think about who we are. Let's deal with where this pride comes from. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. The sin of Satan was the sin of pride. Satan was created by God. Everything that he was given him by God. He was the anointed cherub. He would have been, if you will, underneath God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Satan may have been the highest being that God created. He definitely, but you have to understand who created him. God did. What would Satan be if God did not create him? Absolutely nothing. He would be non-existent. But Satan got this idea, and the question is asked concerning Satan, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's God's place. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. See, Satan's sin was pride. Satan continually said, I will. Now, do you recognize something? Satan says, I will, I will, I will, I will. The prayer of that Pharisee said, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. When we get too focused on ourselves and too much about what I am or I will, or it's about I, literally that is satanic. And we need to be careful that we do not get in the habit of following Satan's path and Satan's plan. Jesus, on the other hand, knelt down and he said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And yet Jesus Christ was God the Son and the Son of God. Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. And yet Jesus Christ humbled himself and became as man and was found after the fashion of man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, who deserves all glory, humbled himself so that we could have salvation. Satan, a created being who is nothing without God, he got all proud and wanted to people to basically proclaim him to be God. He's still doing it today, by the way. Oh, if Jesus is going to have a place, then I have to have a place. Whether it's in the state capitol or a state park or wherever it may be, if Jesus is going to have to have, if he's going to get some preeminence, I want my statue there. I want my idol there. I want something there. If Jesus is going to have a possibility of being mentioned in a school, then we're going to have a Satan club in that school. Satan is constantly wanting to be equal with and have his place with Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 7, pride is a heart matter. It is a matter that takes place. It's something wrong within our very heart. And hence we're dealing with these messages, dealing with our inner self. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through 23 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and these evil things come from within and defile the man." You know, every sin that we do, it starts inside and it works its way out. And pride is in that list. But you read that description of man, there's not a lot to be proud of, is there? There really is not. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 talks about pride, and it's one of the things that is connected to this world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So when you think about pride, pride is a worldly, carnal, satanic attribute. And the King of Glory, who could have been proud, chose to be humble. What sin keeps more people from heaven than probably anything else? Pride. You think about pride, go to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 18. And if you can't keep up, I've got to really read these verses and keep moving for the sake of time. But Matthew chapter 3 says this, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." See, that statement there is, look, you have to come down and realize I can't do this for myself. You know, little children, they start out, they can't feed themselves. They can't change themselves. They can't bathe themselves. They start out, they can't even walk themselves. They are 100% dependent. And when Jesus says you need to become as a little child to come to me, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, come to God the Father, 100% dependent on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you will not come 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ, then you cannot get saved. There is no salvation without that salvation coming from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It's not about you, it's about Him. We just come realizing, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved. And if you think that you can just, you'll somehow make it to heaven without being saved, you are mistaken. Hell is full of people that would not humble themselves and just simply come and say, "I need to get saved." Hell is full of people that heard the gospel and at the realization of, "I need to get saved," but they were refused. to come and actually ask, how do I get saved? Well, I'd be embarrassed to do that. That's pride. Well, I don't want someone to think I'm not saved. Look, we were all at one time not saved. I wouldn't want someone to think that I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We need to be saved, but it comes to putting our pride aside and humbling ourselves and coming with the realization, I need to get saved. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. How do I get saved? Can I take care of this? Yes, you absolutely can. Jesus died for you. And you can get saved. And then saved people ought to get baptized. They ought to live for God. You know, pride steals our friendships. It creates contention. We'll look at that in a moment. Pride separates families. Pride splits churches. Pride ruins businesses. Pride is the enemy of all society. It really is. How does pride affect people? Pride causes people to think too highly of themselves and brings the judgment of God upon them. Daniel chapter 4. You'll go to Daniel chapter 4 and see King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar had built a kingdom, and he walks through in verse 29 of Daniel chapter 4. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built it for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He looks around and he says, wow, I am something. Look what I have done. Do you know, Nebuchadnezzar accomplished a lot as a man, as far as men go. But Nebuchadnezzar could not take his next breath unless God gave it to him. And God raises up kings and God brings kings down. And Nebuchadnezzar is standing there instead of looking up and saying, God, it's incredible what you've allowed me to do. God, thank you for giving me the brains and the ability and the strength to accomplish this. God, you're great. Nebuchadnezzar was standing there looking at what he had done, taking all the credit for it. Verse 31 says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, that's 7 years, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till the hair were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And he stayed like that, living like a wild beast, totally lost his mind. And he stayed like that until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Nebuchadnezzar, you think you're something? God says, I can make you live like an ox. And Nebuchadnezzar, with all of the kingdoms and palaces, lived like an animal the next 7 years. At the end of that 7 years, you know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He said, God, I recognize now who you are. God, I recognize none of this is me. You're the great God. Isn't it sad that it takes that abasing to take place? Pride causes people to think highly of themselves. Pride causes contention. Proverbs chapter 13. And verse 10 says this, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. If you are having contention with somebody, there's pride involved. Now, it may be their pride. It may be your pride. It may be a mixture of both of your pride. But if there is contention, you know that there is pride behind the contention. contention doesn't exist without pride. Now, we are told, and I want you to be very clear here, the Bible tells us to earnestly contend for the faith. So there is some contending that does not have to be contentious. And we do have to contend for some things, but we're contending for the things of God, not for the things of ourselves. Family contention is often due to someone not admitting that they were wrong. And again, it could be on either side. So, well, you know, I have contention with this family member. I'm not saying that it's you causing the contention. It could be their pride causing it. But anytime there's contention, we need to take a look and see, is it me? Is it me? Or is it them? And be careful, because it's sure a lot easier to blame someone else. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? That woman! That serpent! Adam went so far as to say, that woman that thou gavest me. God, this is your fault! That's pride. That's pride. Luke 22:24. It can happen in a church. Luke chapter 22 and verse 24. You got the first church there, Jesus Christ and the disciples. And Luke chapter 22 and verse 24 says this, "And there was also a strife among them." Here you got 12 followers of Jesus Christ. What? I mean, Jesus Christ is there, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah. He's walking among them. And somehow they have strife. How could it be that a church where Jesus Christ himself is the pastor, if you will, how could there be strife in that church? He's perfect. His leadership is perfect. Absolutely. He's actually sinless. But within the church, there was strife, and the strife was going on. Why? Look at what the rest of the verse says. Strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest? You know what Jesus said, verse 25, he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. When the government comes and says, I'm going to be your benefactor, you know there's a problem. But Jesus said, it's not that way with you. But ye, verse 26, ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Well, God looks at these, Jesus looks at these disciples, and he says, look, just be a servant. Well, I'm too good to do this in the church. Well, I'm too good to do that in the church. Just be a servant. Well, you know, I want this position, but I won't do this. Just be a servant. Well, why did that person get to do that and that person didn't get to do that? Just be a servant. Just live for God. Just do whatever you can for the Lord Jesus Christ and realize it is an honor and privilege to serve Jesus any way, shape, or form. And that goes for all of us. You know, pride takes away love. 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on Christian love in action, charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. If you see a person that is prideful, you see a person without Christian love in action. If you see a person that is self-focused, you see a person who is lacking Christian charity. Pride leads to vanity. Go to Isaiah. You want to see a description of vanity. Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3 has one of the descriptions of vanity. And honestly, when I read Isaiah 3, the last verses there, I think of Hollywood stars. I think of people up in the upper echelon of the business world and different things. People that think so much of themselves. In Isaiah chapter 3, it gives this vivid description. Verse 16, "Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet." Boy, these people are proud. Boy, they've got their posture together. Their clothing is all the modern rage. We'll see more of it later. And here's what God says, "Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion." You know, they're all about their hair. And God said, "I'm just going to make a big old scab up there." We've got a dog. I dumped some ashes out yesterday. I think the dog sat down on a hot coal. Big old bald spot right there. It'll teach her to get in the raised garden bed, right? But, you know, you look at that spot and it's like, yeah, that's ugly looking. And God says, you know what? I have ways of dealing with prideful people. "The crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon." All I can think of when I read that is the spare tire. I don't know. "The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers and the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and the nose jewels and the changeable suits of apparels and the mantles and the whipples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils." Boy, these people are stuck on themselves, aren't they? I mean, they've got it all. All the modern things are there. And God says, "You know what? You have become so vain, so focused on yourself." And he says this, verse 24, "And it shall come to pass, instead of a sweet smell," that perfume, "there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty." You know, you look at this. God does not like pride, and God does not like vanity. You know, I believe people ought to be respectable. But if a person gets over-focused on their appearance and themselves and their clothing and their stuff, you know, you look at, I don't know, you go into airports and hotels and deal with people, and people got these big old hooks through their nose hanging out with a little ball on both ends. It's like, man, it looked like I got a booger hanging out there. And it's like, what is wrong with society? I mean, who does that? How do you blow your nose? But you look at that, there's something wrong. When people have to go that far to try to get a little bit of attention. Pride leads to vanity. What does God think of pride? James 4:6 says, "God resisteth the proud." Proverbs chapter 6 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him," or unto him. What's the first one? A proud look. Right at the top of the list. See, God hates pride. It's the sin of Satan. It's satanic. So what is the cure? How do we deal with it? First of all, humility. Go to James 4 and 1 Peter 5. James chapter 4 and 1 Peter 5. Two books right next to each other deal with this issue. James 4, verse 10. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Verse 6 says, God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Verse 10 says this, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Christian people ought to be on our knees, talking to God on a regular basis, realizing we're nothing. And when you will humble yourself before God, God says, okay, now I can use you. Now I can do something with you. Say, why won't God use me? We have to be humble. We have to be humble. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We have a society, we have Christianity often full of people trying to exalt themselves. It's just serve God and let God do what he will. If God wants to exalt you in some way, he will. If he doesn't, he won't. But we can't go out seeking for that. Just serve. Just do right. Just live for God. Just respond to the Word of God. See, it's pride that when you read something in the Bible and say, really, I shouldn't do that sin. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. That's pride. Or, you know what? I can get through this day without praying and without reading my Bible. Really? Oh, you may survive the day, but isn't that pride? I don't need to pray. Isn't that pride? I've got this thing coming up, but I got this. No big deal. See, sometimes we take in this great big thing, we say, oh God, I need help with this. Well, how about just every day? Do we need God's help every day? So don't you think we ought to be talking to God, asking him for help every day? So we need humility. Humility is the cure for pride. It's the opposite. If there's humility, there can't be pride. If there's pride, there's not humility. So how? Admit, first of all, that you need God. John 15, 5 says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what? Nothing. Do you know without God, we can do nothing for the kingdom of God? Without God giving us the breath and the beating heart to get up tomorrow morning, providing we actually get up tomorrow morning. Without God giving that, we can't do anything. But very specifically, chapter 15 is talking about living the Christian life. If you're not in Christ and Christ in you, you can't do anything for God. You can't accomplish anything that has any impact on eternity without Jesus because it's God's work. So admit you need God. Confess the sin of pride. Pride is sin. It should be confessed as such. Spend a little time. Read your Bible, pray, get in the presence of God Almighty. Pride can't dwell there. As you get into the presence of God, all of a sudden you're not thinking very highly of yourself. Because like the angels, you'll just say, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. And he says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. You get in the presence of God, you realize you're just a sinner. Now, if you're saved, you realize you're a sinner saved by grace. And that's a glorious thing, but the glory goes to Jesus. Confess the sin of pride, and then seek God's guidance. Seek God's guidance. I'm going to finish with two verses. Proverbs 14:12 says this. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, don't lean to your own understanding. Seek God. Psalm 32:8 says this. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. See, there's man's way and then there's God's way. And we need to seek God's way. He says, I will guide thee with mine eye. We need to come to God and come to His Word. God, without this, I don't know what's right and wrong. I don't know what's sin and not. I don't know without the Word of God instructing me. I don't know what I should say and what I shouldn't say. I don't know how I should dress and how I shouldn't dress. I don't know what music I should listen to, what music I shouldn't listen to. I don't know what I should participate in, what I shouldn't participate in. See, if you do know some things, it's because you're guided by the Word of God. If you refuse to be guided by the Word of God, that's pride. May the Word of God dwell in our hearts richly. May the Word of God guide us. May we be humbled enough to say, God, I don't have it all figured out. God, show me. God, show me. And if you're here today and you are not saved, you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. You could get saved today, will you? Will you just humbly come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to be your Savior? If you're here today and you're not saved, I'll urge you, put aside the pride. Come at the invitation. Talk to somebody. They can show you from the Bible how you can get saved. How you can know for sure your sins are forgiven. But you know what? It takes... There can't be any pride in it. It's just simply humbly coming to God. Now, this is a sin. This is something that's naturally in every single one of us. It takes true effort and transformation by God to be actually humble. And we need God's help with it. We can't be like the guy that wrote the book, The 10 Most Humble Men in the World and How I Chose the Other 9. Humility and how I attained it. No, it's God. And in the presence of God, where is there any room for pride? Pride is like the ant coming up and saying, I'm going to throw you out of your house. May God help us with this. Let's stand to our feet. Coming into the end of a year, going into a new year, it'd be great to start a new year with a humble spirit before God. Father, I ask that you would help us now in the invitation. God, help us to respond to your word. God, help us to understand that we need your help to get rid of pride in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, do you have something to come and talk to the Lord about? Is there anybody here who says, I need to be saved today? I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to be saved today. This world continually works on building self-esteem, and you deserve this and you deserve that. It's because the world is anti-God. God resisteth the proud. The next verse says, submit to God. Resist the devil. Pride is that sin of the devil. May God help us to be humbly but earnestly contending for the faith. Father, I thank you for your word, and God, we truly need to consider this great sin of pride. And God, it has no place in our hearts. And yet it so easily rises up. And God, I pray that we would resist it, we would fight it. God, that we would truly strive to be humble. But God, all we have to do is step into your presence to be humbled. God, help us to see how great you are, and we'll see how little we are. God, help us to see how holy you are, and we will see how unholy we truly are. And yet, God, help us to come to you striving, asking you to help us to be holy because we can't do it on our own. God, I ask that you would please help us just to be useful to you. Help us to serve you, minister to others in your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I encourage you to come back out tonight. We'll have a good service, the last service of the year, the start of the new year. And I want to preach on hope for the new year tonight. So we need hope. We live in a hopeless society. May God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Come back tonight.